What scares you the most? Through the years, I have enjoyed reading the comics, which I do eating breakfast. I figure that's about all my brain can handle at that time of day. One of the strips that has become a favorite of mine is the strip Zits. The strip is about Jeremy, a perpetual 15-year-old, and the challenges of growing up. One week of strips had to do with the drama of the parents leaving Jeremy by himself overnight. When told of this, Jeremy, of course, was filled with bravado. "I'll be fine." He would lie on the couch with his shoes on, eat in the living room, and watch scary movies. So he did. He watched 3 scary movies in a row. Afterward, as he is exulting in his accomplishment, he hears a noise, a creak. Next, you see only his eyes peering out from under the cushion. There's not a lot of difference between Jeremy and you, is there? You talk tough, but you're not as tough as you think. Life has a way of proving that to all of us. What do you do when you hear a strange noise? How do you handle life's strange sounds? Do you turn to man's solutions, man's wisdom? Or do you turn to Jesus, God in human form, to His wisdom? How do you handle life's strange sounds? A couple of weeks ago, we looked at John chapter 14 and the truths there about Jesus, His role and His relationship with the Father, and the peace He makes possible. This morning, we're going to look at the third part of the Trinity, the Spirit, to see how His role and workings and how He helps you handle life's strange sounds. John chapter 14, we're going to start reading in verse 15. Jesus is speaking, and He says, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see Me, but you will see Me because I live. You will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in My Father, and you in Me, and I in you. He who has My commandments and keeps them is the one who loves Me. And he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him and will disclose Myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to Him, "Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose Yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love Me does not keep My words, and the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father's who sent Me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you love Me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now, I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in Me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded Me." How do you handle life's strange sounds? You handle life's strange sounds by obeying Jesus. Be committed to the Father, be committed to the Son, be committed to the Holy Spirit. In a very straight language, Jesus says, the way you prove you love me is to obey me. You are to keep my commandments, he said. There is no wiggle room in that statement. I wish there were. Honestly, I wish there were. But there is no wiggle room. If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. Obedience is a test or indication of loving Jesus. Jesus reemphasized that in verse 21. Let me remind you what Jesus said in the first part of chapter 14. Jesus said, believe in God, trust God, believe in me, trust me. Jesus equates himself with God the Father, for in essence, they are the same. In nature, they are the same. They have the same holy, righteous nature. In God's domain, in his castle, remember what Jesus said, in God's domain, in his castle, are many dwelling places. And Jesus said, I am going to go and prepare a place for you. A place for you. And he would be there. And through his death and resurrection, he would prepare the way for them to live there with him. The second part of the preparation Jesus has made is he will come and receive all who believe to be in his presence. Let me tell you, he has not nor will he ever forget you. He knows you. He knows what's going on in your life. He is there waiting for you. Then Jesus simply said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father any other way but by me. Jesus is going to the Father. Jesus is going to the Father because he is the revelation of God, and because the life of God resides in him. The way you prove you love Jesus is to obey him. If you have heard the plight of the situation going on in Thailand, there was a soccer team, and I'm not exactly sure what the soccer team was doing, but the soccer team and their coach decided to go explore in a cave. Blake talked about a cave. Evidently, they went pretty deep underground. And what they found was that the monsoon, evidently, that was affecting them brought this incredible flood of water, and they're trapped. And it's not like 5 feet down the way. I haven't heard an exact measurement, but it is so far down under the ground that a former Navy SEAL, Thai Navy SEAL, was trying to scuba dive down to them, and he died. They say that one way to rescue them looks to be to teach them to scuba dive and possibly swim. Now, if that is attempted, if they're going to go down there and try to teach them how to scuba dive, do the boys have the right, the authority to say, I don't think I have to do things that way? Neither do you. Obey Jesus. We as individuals should obey Christ, and we as a church should obey him. One of the problems today is that many think truth is relative. Well, that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. Truth is still truth. Truth is not relative. Truth is a person, Jesus. And just as Jesus is eternal, his truth is eternal. The mistake made is that too many let culture speak to Scripture when they should be letting Scripture speak to culture. As you approach Scripture, first, figure out what it meant to the original readers. Figure out the eternal truth. Truth is like a river. It flows in one direction within recognizable boundaries. Then figure out what was culturally conditioned. For instance, when Paul wrote to Philemon about Onesimus, Onesimus was a slave. Paul could not change that, but Paul could show slaves and masters how they were to behave toward one another. And while we do not, thankfully, have slavery in this country anymore, you might have somebody that works for you. And so the truths that Philemon needed to employ with Onesimus would be true if you have somebody that works for you. You need to treat them a certain way. It is easy to say that you love Jesus, but harder to follow him. It's hard to obey him. It has been said groups claim to love Jesus, but they don't want to hear what he has to say. And from what he said in this chapter, Jesus does not seem to think they love him if they don't want to hear what he has to say. If you love Jesus, obey him. And so this is how the first step of how you handle life's strange sounds. You handle life's strange sounds by relying on the Spirit's presence. Be committed to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus had told the disciples he was leaving. And in verse 16, Jesus said he would ask the Father for another paraclete to be with him. Another comforter, another helper, another advocate, another intercessor, another divine presence. Do not let, if the translation you're reading translates it helper, do not let the word helper imply that the Spirit is subordinate to you, because he is not. That paraclete, the Holy Spirit, would be with them forever. Forever. Jesus knew that the requirement of love and keeping his commandments would require a resource of divine proportions. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon people. He would empower them to do whatever they needed, but then he would leave. Not anymore. He is with us now, forever. And in verse 27, Jesus gave words of reassurance. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." When life makes those strange sounds, when we get that word that something happened and we hear this, he said, "My peace is with you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Rely on the Spirit's presence." One of the interesting couples that came through this spring hiking the trail was a couple in which the man was totally blind. And you're doing what, sir? A few years ago, he was probably, I guessed him to be mid-40s. A few years back, he had had a pretty significant stroke, and his eyesight was affected, taken away, done away with. He was blind. He did have his walking stick, and if you have ever noticed a blind person, they have a walking stick to... But how would you use a walking stick out on the trail? First of all, I don't know why anybody would want to thru-hike the Appalachian Trail. 2,000 miles of roughing it? No, thank you. Months and months. But here's this blind man, and I asked him, how in the world are you navigating the trail? And one of the techniques they would use is that the wife would go before him, and she would talk to him. And that helped him gauge the grade or the climb that he needed to make on the trail, because there are parts of the trail that you have to climb. You don't hike them, you climb them. But the man relied on his wife's presence. You rely on the Holy Spirit's presence. Think of that. The Holy Spirit is always with you. If you are in a saving relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit is with you. He is with you. He is with us as a church. You cannot hide from him. He will not leave you. Just like the hiker's wife, the Spirit helps you navigate through life. I don't know if those two ever became separated. But if they did, I know the husband relaxed when he knew his wife was back with him. So you relax. Whatever life is throwing at you, relax. The Spirit is with you. When life gets hard, the Spirit has not left you. When the phone rings at an odd time, the Spirit is with you. When the doctor's report is not good, the Spirit is with you. When you get into a conversation with someone you have been praying for, For them to come to know Christ, the Spirit will be with you. And that is how you handle life's strange sounds. Handle life's strange sounds by relying on the Spirit's guidance. Not only is He with you, He's going to guide you. Be committed to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In verse 26, Jesus explains the two ways the Spirit would guide us. He will teach you all things, He said. He will explain God's Word to you. The Bible may be intellectually read, but it is spiritually discerned or understood. And that is the Spirit's job. The second thing the Spirit does is that the Spirit will help you remember all that Jesus said. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit does that. Helps you remember what God's Word said. The Spirit will bring to your mind God's Word that you need to think about at the right time. The Holy Spirit empowers. I picked up my systematic theology book written by Wayne Grudem, and he gave these as the headings under the section, The Holy Spirit Empowers. He gives life. Psalm 104 speaks of the Spirit's creating of life. Second, He gives power for service. Over and over in the New Testament, it speaks of the power of the Spirit being with Jesus. And the third thing He says is that the Holy Spirit reveals. He gives evidence of God's presence. He guides and He directs people. I used this as an illustration a couple weeks ago. I'm going to use it again. In the old days, if you were at point A and you wanted to go to point B, you pulled out a map. Today, you pull out your phone or some other type of GPS and it goes. But the problem is, because both a map and a GPS can be misread or just plain wrong, better yet is for someone who knows the way to be with you. We went Monday evening to Topton, North Carolina. Those of you who grew up around here, lived here a good long while, you know that that's the other side of the world. It is. It is the other side of the world. From about the time I left my house, I kept looking at the phone. No service, no service, no service. Luckily, somebody had been there before us. And they put up these nice big green things along at every corner saying, "This is the road." And we made it. Not because of a map, not because of a GPS, but because somebody had been there before and was with us. Now we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the life, and we have the Holy Spirit for guidance. What are you facing today that you're not sure which way to go? The Spirit will guide you. Are you facing questions at work? The Spirit will guide you. Are you facing questions at school? The Spirit will guide you. Are you facing questions at home? The Spirit will guide you. The best thing you can do for your family to help them the most is to draw near to Jesus and let His Spirit guide you. And that's how you handle life's strange sounds. So what does scare you the most? Is it when you get sick or somebody in your family gets sick? Is it when you lose your job or somebody in your family loses your job or a friend? What scares you the most? Are you obeying Jesus? Prove that you love Him by obeying Him, obeying His Word. If you're not, come in confession and repentance and He will forgive you, I do believe. Do you sense the Spirit's presence in your life? Do you have the peace that Jesus promised? What questions are you facing? Are you relying on the Spirit's guidance?